This is RSBNB Update, episode 397, recorded Friday, January 25th, 2013. What's coming and what's going? Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSBNB Update. We are here this week, Mr. Shane 12088 and Mr. J1, J2, J3.
Yay, I'm here.
AKA the Trekkie guy.
You're nice.
Yes, you are. I could have called you lots of more bad things, but I decided that no, we won't do that, right?
You usually do that after the show.
Yeah, well, that doesn't matter. Nobody hears that.
Okay, so looks like we had a... It's been a very taskful week, hasn't it?
A taskful week.
You okay?
Yes, I'm fine. You are referring to the release of the Desert Task Set?
Yes.
43 tasks, easy, medium, hard, and elite categories. Full range of desert. Basically everywhere from the top of the desert all the way down to Sophonim and the Thieving Pyramid. Mm-hmm. There's a task to be done. 43 of them. Let's see if we got any of these right. Actually, I don't even remember what we said, but... the beginner achievements are One Piercing Note, Stolen Hearts, and Diamond in the Rough. You need to complete them.
Okay.
That's the first thing you need to do. After that, easy tasks. We got things like completing the Golem Quest, completing the Tourist Trap Quest, completing Missing My Mummy, completing Smoking Kills, and completing Shadow of the Storm. Now, it's nice for a change that they actually have quests on this list so you get a jump on the tasks, I think, at least. Because they never had completing quests before as part of the task set. So that makes me happy. Another thing, Assassin's Feed, which is a play on the word Assassin's Creed. Eagle Dive into a Hate Card after completing Diamond in the Rough.
Do we have to do that again?
I think so. I think so, okay. Because it is a part of the test set.
That was a very nice little Easter egg during the quest.
Yeah. Then there's another one. Don't You Dare Close Your Eyes, which is apparently relating to the Aladdin song that you like to sing.
What? Sing? What are you talking about? I don't sing.
You remember that song you would always sing? I don't know. I never seen the movie, so I don't know what it is, but
Shane,
give us a demonstration.
He has such a bad childhood if you don't even know any Disney songs. I bet even Dano knows the songs. He's twice our age.
Yes, but he has kids.
That's nothing. He probably saw it when he was a teenager.
I don't know about that.
Okay, so let's see. A couple other things here. We got a slash fund, which we have to get water from my cactus. Extra cheese, exchange pizza points at the magic training arena. And attempt to speculate on the match in the Dominion Tower. And perform, Fool's Gold, catch a golden warbler.
What are you reading?
The beginning, the easy achievements.
Oh, okay. There's another thing. More quests in the medium one, which is good. Teak tree in that area off to the far east in the desert where you can cut those teak trees. So that's interesting they put there. Calphite fairy ring. So Sumi, easy, Rundoku casket. The medium ones aren't that long, actually. But anyways, the hard ones, Ugthanki Kebab from Raw Ingredients, Enchanted Water Tiara, Dreadnip on the Kalthite Queen. That's one of the two that I don't have the requirement for because I did not do the Dominion Tower thing all the way to get Dreadnips.
Nor have I.
Harvest Cactus Spines from a cactus you grew. Freeze an Enemy with Ice Burst. Kill a Scarab Mage from the Contact Quest. Open the Sarcophagus at the level 61 Pyramid Plunder Room. Enter the Alucard Resource Dungeon at level 75 Dungeoneering. So, overall, I don't think the hard achievements are very hard. What do you think?
All the hard ones is basically mid-level stuff. Highest one is level 75 Dungeoneering.
Yeah.
Everything else
also
seems pretty simple.
We start to see them in the Elite. I think the hardest part of the Elite one is going to be killing Sunfreet for the in the Dominion Tower, because that is a requirement for that. And as I recall, that one requires, I don't remember how many kills it, but I do know that after the combat update, it probably is going to be a lot harder to kill than it was 2 weeks ago, which is unfortunate. You also need to reach the top of the Pyramid Plunder, so the level 91 Thieving, kill a Desert Strike Worm, 77 Slayer, Scarabba's Mask from Do No Evil, which required 80 Agility and 80 Mining, and then 85 Herblore and 89 Crafting is also required, because you need to make a Super Anti-Fire Flask.
Yeah, that's not bad. Only a difficult one is really the sunshade. Everything else is in the 80s, the highest, well, and then 191, and then 91 for the thieving. So you want to go over the rewards?
Yeah. But I'll say that even the thieving one is not very hard, because thieving is one of the easiest skills to level up in game. So
and it's also one of the most tedious.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. Rewards. So you get the Desert Amulet. As we know, in general, amulets just provide a crit bonus. So we'll discuss this in a moment, because it's rather silly the way it works in the end. Sparkly Dung Kalphites will drop double loot, double water from cacti, and a daily bag of lost and found items from the Rug Merchant, and 2% cheaper items in the Pizzazz store. Also a 2k... experienced lamp. That's the easy achievement. Now for the Desert Amulet 2, the amulet of course gets upgraded, but as I said, we'll talk about that just momentarily, because that's an entirely different matter. Desert goat horns are now dropped by the goats in the desert. I don't know what you use those for. Do you remember what you used the desert goat horns for?
Desert goat horns. Ground with pesto and mortar, use second ingredients and combat potions. I think it was...
Okay.
No, it was never really used. Especially now, anyway.
You also get a reduced failure rate at the agility pyramid and 100 molten glass. Also, a second teak tree near user, and unlimited teleports to Narda, and 5% Pizzazz discount, and also an 8k experience lamp and 20 noted potato cacti. Now the hard reward, Desert Amulet 3, when warring gives you a chance to drop the goat horns, let's see, unlimited teleports to Narda, and then at all times the cactus patch and Alucard will be protected from disease and always provide double spines. That one's nice. Because cactus spines protect yew trees, and cactus spines have always been super expensive, so it's nice to be able to get that many of them now. You also unlock double charges on the Pharaoh's Scepter and Scepter of the Gods. Reduced chance of mummies and scarabs spawning in Pyramid Plunder, and Karis now has a greater chance of scoring a victory. And the Pizzazz discount increases to 10%. And you also get a 20K experience slam and 30 noted potato cacti.
Mm-hmm.
And now moving on to the last one, 150 molten glass. Opportunity to reroll your Dominion Tower chest rewards. Two feathers at once from pickpocketing the Desert Phoenix. Chance
That's
to
grab nice.
Four dose super anti-fire potions. Boosted stats on the ancient staff, which are still crap compared to everything else. I don't know who the hell would use such a weapon if you have the ability to do the elite task in this set, because the ancient staff is a level 50 weapon and it doesn't even boost it to the level of a 60 staff, which is really annoying. So If anything with this, it should have been boosted to the level of a 70 staff, not just a few boosts, which is bad on the part of this, because that reward is useless. A granite buyer at the quarry. Now this one's interesting.
Yay.
So this guy will buy the granite at the quarry of yours based on the weight, and it'll use the granite exchange price.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I know.
That's a really good update if you need to try mining, especially mining.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing they said they were going to do with this is that the granite option on the action bar cuts it into smaller pieces. So I'm wondering if they made it so that it drops it now.
Anyways. Let's see. We have a new sandstone rock in the Sylvanium coastline.
Yeah. I'm hoping this is red sandstone for potion flasks, because that makes sense, because regular sandstone is kind of useless. Oh, and you also get an experience lamps, total of 160,000 in the skills of your choice, and 40 potato cacti from the weird old man. So, that's the main rewards. Now let's talk about these amulets. So,
talk about the stats. The
number
4 one.
Yes, yeah. So Desert Amulet 4. The rest are okay. Like, they're amulets that you'll want to use. I don't know if you'll end up using them in the real world or not, but you'll definitely end up using Desert Amulet 4, perhaps. This amulet gives you a +3 prayer bonus. It also gives you a 3.9% critical bonus. Now, let's remember that the Glory Amulet has the same critical bonus, and the Fury Amulet, that is super expensive, has a crit bonus of 4.2. So, I put this question, who in their right mind is going to use a Fury Amulet now? Who in their right mind is going to do that? Are you there? Yoo-hoo.
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
Sorry, I had to get my dad something. What?
So the question I pose, who in their right mind is going to use a Fury Amulet when the Fury has 4.2 crit chance and 2 prayer bonus? This thing has 0.3% less crit chance and 1 more prayer bonus and is completely free.
Well, not really free. You still have to do all this stuff to get to it.
I know.
By that time, you would probably still have Fury Amulet anyway. So this really is, it's for me, it's an amulet.
Well, this is the same class as a Glory, mind you. So, I mean, I just don't like the idea of something from Achievement Diary like this having such a good stat that it can displace an item that has been around forever and, you know, might be a better option for people to use. So,
well, What I'm saying is that even if those who are going to be able to complete the Desert Amulet to get the fourth level, they've already had a fairy amulet or maybe something better when the time comes. Then maybe they may plan to sell it or something, but they're still going. The fairy amulet is going to still be there because not everyone is going to be able to go and kill the Sunshade. Not everyone's going to have 91 thieving. Not everyone's going to have 89 crafting with 85 herbal and all that kind of stuff.
So then I ask, what's the point of this reward?
To have a granite buyer in the quarry, to opportunity to re-roll your Dominion Tower chest, 150 molten glass, and ooh, a 4-day potato cacti from the weird old man.
Okay, so you're saying basically ignore the amulet.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's one of those things where if you're a PKer, maybe you use a little bit more just for a little extra prayer. But if you lose it, you don't really lose anything. Well, for the furry amulet, you lose that, and well, you're out of luck. So I would say, the PKers who are able to have all these skills all so high anyway, they may use just in the other one because it's cheaper. But that's only for PKers. I don't see that many people using this.
Yeah.
When the stats surpass the glory amulet, yeah, I'll see more people using this. But still, most people who have glory amulets aren't going PKing all the time anyway. Most people. Okay?
Yeah, okay. Well, moving on to tweaks and fixes from this week. We'll talk about the abduction teleports and summoning squeal in a moment, but the rug merchant in the desert now offer a fast travel option, which instantly delivers you to your chosen location.
The location that's still able to go within the area, of course.
Yes. So basically, rather than showing the entire animation, it'll just put you where you want to go. So that's good. Any unused XP boosts from the old Refer a Friend system have been converted into XP boost scrolls, which are stackable and can be activated whenever you choose.
Let's see.
We didn't refer any friends, did we?
We have no friends.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. All right. Diango has introduced a new way of retrieving your previously claimed holiday items through an easy-to-use interface. Take a look here for the full details. And several monsters have had their defense lowered, so they can be hit more consistently, including steel dragons and dark beasts. I have a feeling we're going to be balancing things out from last week's combat update for quite some time, because the Brink of Extinction quest is practically uncompletable.
That's what I keep hearing. And I haven't finished it either. I had no time to finish it up. I'm basically halfway through, and I was like, oh, I don't have time.
Oh boy. Oh, poor you. Well, let us know if you do manage to complete it.
It took me forever to kill Queen Black Dragon over here. I think it's going to be even longer to kill this one.
Yep.
You
All
want to spare
right.
some you want to spare some ashes along my way?
For what?
Train prayer.
No.
Wimp.
So, from the release notes, I'm gonna jump down to something that that was kind of shocking to me, but it makes sense, considering what the regular Carl's crossbow does. Carl's pistol crossbows now use bolt racks of it as ammunition, and they can't fire regular bolts. So that means that we only have one level 70 option for crossbow now, and that's the Armadale crossbow, and there's no off-handed variant, which is disappointing. So that's my thing from the release notes. Do you have
Okay.
anything from here?
Release notes. Nope. Patch notes. Let me see.
Yes, that's
Well, Chrome goggles and dragon hairstyle no longer cause characters' jaw to disconnect in chat head view. Wonder how that one looked like. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And all of Tyrus Guard's chat heads have been updated.
Oh, maybe does this mean that the ElfQuest is coming?
No.
If they're updating chat heads in that area?
Well, you want to get more heads?
No. It just makes sense. Before an item is released, they update it graphically, right?
That has never happened in the past, but especially now with this one, we're still waiting for them to finish. Okay, let's see.
Fix some logic issues with unlocking the old Wizard's Tower during Rune Mysteries.
You could sell. I did not know you could sell XP pendants to Dungeoneering Smuggler.
What?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Huh. I wonder what you got for them.
Probably like, I don't know, 5,000 rusty coins. I have no idea. Didn't know you could do that either. Okay, let's see. Player-owned captains no longer give the will no longer be given the cruel style names. The cruel. Okay.
Well, that makes sense. It's hard to say it is his.
The cruel. Tentacruel.
Also from the ports, the Scrimshaw of Cruelty Poison no longer affects players after they have died. So that's a good thing.
And Tyverly Bank now has the same healing aura as other banks.
I was wondering why that wasn't working.
Hmm? Oh, okay.
Because I noticed that numerous times. And I thought maybe it didn't count because it was just like a small bank, you know, not a full big bank or something.
Yeah. And some tall grass has been added near the scimitar stall on Apoptol to assist buddy thievings. Buddy thieves. Okay.
All right. Good.
And let's see. Spam clicking during opening of Troll Warzone no longer causes the player to get stuck during the move your camera section. Okay. Did I know?
Yeah, that would be bad if that was to happen.
Okay. And
I think that's it for the release notes section. Moving on now. It is January, so we got what seems kind of like a State of the Union address from Mark Gerhard. So, essentially in this post, he talks about what they did right and what they're going to be doing and what's not going to be happening. One thing he feels they definitely got right in 2012 is the interaction with the community, everything from the live streams and listening more. So, they're definitely going to continue to focus on that in 2013. And he says he enjoys talking to players on his personal account. So he seems open like that with that. And, you know, this goes out to everybody who thinks that he's just pulling the strings in order to make the most profit. Read this news post.
Okay.
Then we got a bit of an update on bots and gold farmers. On average, 1,000 player counts are banned a day for botting, and tons more illegitimate trial counts are deleted. Their work is not done. Botting remains a frustration. The anti-bot technologies launched in 2012 are a step forward. Put them ahead. And they didn't reflect when they launched Botany Bay that they needed to roll this technology out gradually. Since, you know, if you ban someone's account, that's not a good thing. So that's why it took so long. And then, also of note, Botany Bay has not yet made use of our new anti-bot systems, but we are looking forward to rolling them out.
Yeah, so I guess we don't know what they're going to do, because basically the gold farming is getting really bad, especially with the with how recently they have the Queen Black Dragon bot, and also recently there's been a huge increase in gold farming, those like gambling bots too.
Yeah. So hopefully that we'll see that more of these systems get used to track that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Because even though they say Bot Watch has already had success against bots and gold farmers, we on the front lines know that there's a bit more to be done, as this week the Queen Black Dragon started to be botted. So hopefully they'll be able to turn the system there and see what happens. And there are fewer players botting now than in 2011, so that is, of course, a good thing.
I think what's happening is that there may be fewer of them, but they're more concentrated in specific areas. So that's why you still see a lot of them in Grand Exchange and Varrock and the Red Chimchampas area. But I remember back then, you walk anywhere, you just saw a huge line of bots everywhere. That was really discouraging for a lot of people.
Yeah, it was. And now, onto the gambling thing. They said that in 2013, we will be also adding a parallel strategy to specifically target gold farmers and related illicit real-world activities. We'll be talking more about this soon.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, also recently someone made a post saying
that... What do you think that means?
What, that they're angry with them or what?
No, no, what I just read, that they'll be adding a parallel strategy to target gold farmers and illicit real-world trading activities.
One person Googles up eBay, and one person looks up RuneScape, find the names that match and kick them.
Okay, that's a potential strategy, but I was thinking maybe this means they're going to put these people out of their own business by starting to sell their own sort of specific gold-type currency or having in-game gambling with high stakes. That'd be interesting, I think. In-game gambling with GP. Or items, or for that matter. So let's say you and I go and we play a game of something or other. I put down my whip and you put down your party hat. If I win, I get your party hat. How's that sound?
I don't have one.
Oh, well, you're mass set then in that case.
No. I'm not giving you any of my stuff, Shane. You're evil. let's see. Well, I don't know. Do we really want to encourage kids to go gambling in a game?
I don't see what the issue is as long as it's age-gated. They already age-gate content. Remember back in the olden days, you couldn't talk on a world if you were under the age of 13?
That never happened.
So, that's what I see with that.
Anyone can make a fake name easily, put a fake age easily in this world. Let's see. So, well, one other
then
thing.
Then they go on to micropayments, Squeal of Fortune, and to lesser extent, Solomon's. He says these additions were and are vital for growing RuneScape. So essentially, they are a different funding model. I'm guessing they had to bring something like this in because, from personal experience, I know that ads really are not the best way to fund something. Especially, I imagine most people end up blocking the free-to-play ads. So they do need something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, all the money they earn from this gets sent back into the game. So infrastructure, tackling lag, improving audio, and so on. Then, at times in 2012, it felt like Squeal and Solomon's releases dominated our release schedule and newsfeed, and that some of the content just didn't feel like RuneScape. The team is currently moving towards a better balance as time goes on. I hope you'll agree that our more recent micropayment updates have been more in tune with the wider game.
All right. And I'll just summarize the promotion part. It's really short. They felt that they were giving too many promotions and giveaways in 2012. We're going to be more cautious. The events should feel special and bring the community together. We'll make them less frequent but more fun and ensure they don't undermine your hard-earned achievements. Then we have the evolution.
I just want to say something on this. Remember, Sizzling Summer? I used my darts from that, and I got two sets of Torag gloves, or Torvik gloves, rather. So you can see what he means by some of these things were a little bit too much. And then Evolution of Combat, he says that keeping the game fresh for years to come and try means trying new things, and overall he's proud of the combat system. So I mean, of course, you have to be proud of the system. It completely changes the way the game works. And overall, I think we still think it's a good update, right?
What, the evolution of combat?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. And they still need to, you know, patch a couple of things out. I think what they need to do is start releasing more items for high mid-level people. Like you said before, there's nothing between 60 and 60 to 80, even for members.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to when they finally release elemental attuned wands. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That's what I want. The air wand is going to be the most expensive one, but I guarantee you it'll be worth its weight in gold. Well, actually, it just won't weigh very much now, would it?
No, it wouldn't. And then finally, game updates of 2012. They're happy with the daily challenges, Runespan, Bonfire, Social Slayer, and the Big Chinchampa. And, of course, the Queen Black Dragon.
God damn.
Thank you. And they're very keen on making 2013 your year, so the player's year. And that means giving us what we want, meaningful quests, new dungeons, epic events, and new skills. It also means making improvements to the existing content and technical aspects of the game. So smoother and better looking than ever. But crucially, 2013 is about ensuring that your hard-earned legacy is respected and everything you've done and worked so hard to achieve will remain as amazing and relevant as it's ever been. You think they can do this?
I will say this. The day they finally release the next edition for the Biohazard questline, I will quit complaining.
Meaningful quests.
That was a meaningful quest to me. I want to finish that thing up.
I know. So, you know, if you look back on 2012, it was mostly small updates with a few bigger things sprinkled in, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And going back, I think we can only call one or two of them totally game-changing, being Evolution of Combat and Runespan. Right?
Okay, yeah, all right.
So maybe we'll start to see more updates like that in 2013 here.
What I want to see, I'm still waiting for that.
Yes, yes, we know what you want to see.
That's all I care about. Oh, and a Wookiee.
Oh, God.
Hey, you got your Picard and Sherlock. I want my Wookiee.
I know.
You got your Star Trek references in.
That's good.
Oh.
What was that?
Wookiee cry.
Oh, okay. So, overall, I think that we can take from this that 2013 is going to be a year that's a little bit more focused on bigger updates that people have been talking about for a great amount of time, which is probably a good thing, because I think that if we had another year where updates were small and stuff, people would get upset. So. Shall we move on?
Yep, go.
All right, the summoning wheel. So this weekend on Squeal of Fortune, it's a summoning theme wheel. So all gold prizes have been swapped out for spirit shards. So that's nice. Secondly, you'll have an increased chance of winning summoning training material packs that are tailored to your specific level. There's also going to be a rare chance to win some of the more sought-after pouches that you wouldn't ordinarily find on the Squeal, also tailored to your level, including Pakyaks, Obsidian Golems, War Tortoises, and more. And finally, use an XP lamp on the summoning skill, and it'll yield double XP.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I want 96 summoning.
I don't know what I want, but me. Okay, dokie.
And also in the Solomon store this week, there are the new abduction teleports. So some of these are rather funny, actually.
I know.
I think these are the funniest ones yet. Like the one where the penguin comes and the penguin thing sucks you up. Or there's the one where the fissure opens in the ground and it pulls you down, it's like that scene in that Star Trek episode, Skin of Evil, where Armus pulls Riker into his pool of goo. I'm not getting any traction on that, am I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess not. Really. So, I might purchase one of these. I don't know, though. I really don't see the point to teleport animations, because you purchased the Pegasus one, right?
Well, I never really care for... I got what I wanted, so I'm happy with it.
Yeah. And the thing is they're only used on the home port, so really, I don't know if that makes sense to purchase something that's only used a certain amount of time, because I know most of the time I still use the rune-based teleports.
Mm-hmm. Only time I use Lodestone when I'm lazy to actually go to the bank and put it in my bank pen.
Yep.
Actually, what they should really do is start having that new inventory thing. They should really let you put teletabs into it.
What is this?
Was it that little pack thing that's supposed to be put in your tool belt or whatnot? That they said with the next update, skill update, they'll have a use for that spot. Right next, they'll want the spot next to your hood.
Right.
Basically, I'm waiting. I should be also be used as a teletab spot or something.
Okay.
Ooh.
Oops.
Bad chain.
Okay. Moving on to the community roundup. Specifically, the community creations. We got a impling in a jar.
Mm-hmm.
So impling someone actually created a jar and put an impling in it. So that's interesting. And then somebody did fan art of her character in the Living Rock Caverns taking a break from fishing and mining. Come on, why don't you do a set of artwork and send it in?
Do I look like the artistic type?
Yes, you do, actually.
Why? I can't draw. I can do the best stick figure you've ever seen in your life, but that's about it.
Oh, come on. Take a crack at it.
Nope.
Okay.
I'm not artistic like that. And we also have one other little thing. Our favorite YouTubers, RS Will Miss It, has launched a new web series called The Walking Noob. Episode 1, Falling Rocks. So don't be shy. Link, like, and subscribe to his channel and be among the first to see 2 episodes. Did you get the reference of The Walking Noob?
No, I did not.
The Walking Noob is basically a play on the Walking Dead TV series that's happening on Starz, which is about a zombie apocalypse.
I see.
Yes. It was a comic book series, and then they made it into a full TV series. Of course, and for those who are thinking about watching it, you can more or less skip season 2. Nothing happened.
Okay. So, behind-the-scenes video, 37 demon flash mobs, picture of the... or video of what's coming out next week. Essentially, it's going to be group-based activity, so you'll have to go and get a group together and take some demons down if that's your cup of tea.
Oh, that's going to be clan events. This is going to be fun.
Have fun. I won't be here.
I know. We'll talk more about that later. Anyway, yes, so take a look at the video. I kind of like this update. The thing is that for anyone who's ever... This is from my experience. It's kind of like the event series and the events in Guild Wars 2. Basically, something happens that's really game-changing for that area of the game. And what happens is you have to defend or protect or kill or something in order to finish off the event. And what you actually see is that if what I've seen in more populated servers, people in the area would really just stop what they're doing and come help you because they know they can get a little reward out of it. And that's what this happens is too. The demons will come at different times. You have goblins for a lower level, the super high demons for the higher up. And they'll just pop in and say, I'm taking over the world, and you have to stop them. And they're going to drop new range gear. I can't remember what the stats were, But it looks quite nice. It looks very nice. You get two new crossbows that you can use.
I wonder if they'll be level 70. Probably not.
Well, considering the boss, how the boss is, because you're supposed to have a giant group to fight it, I would think it would be 70, but I'm not. I can't remember how high it was.
If they're tradable and they are level 70 or higher, can you pick me up a set? Because you know I won't be able to do that.
Well, as I said, I don't know if they're tradable though, but we'll find out.
I hope they are.
We'll find out soon.
I hope. All right, that's it for RS updates. Moving on to the questions right now. First one's an audio question from Muramska.
Hi, hosts. Muramski here. Shane, I think I might have a solution to your range problem. Might be the long, black, and forgotten black salamander with Herolander tar. Give that a go. It should work then. It's considered as a bolt weapon. This week's question I would like to ask, what has RuneScape taught you? Before I played the game, I had no idea what chinchillas are. It's not until I looked up what the counterpart of the chinchompas are that I knew such a thing existed. Thanks for all the shows. Borumska out. Oh, also, as you're recording on Australia Day, I'll give you this quote from the famous Rex Hunt. 10 years from now, I dream of a little fat kid from Mordialla Bay with guts and determination to make it to the great arena. I'm Rex Hunt. Thanks, folks. Yibbity yabbada.
That was a quote.
All right. I actually considered black salamanders when I was looking at this, but the problem with black salamanders is that they're two-handed. I was wanting something that was one-handed, so that was kind of unfortunate in that regard. Otherwise, I would have used it because, like you said, black salamanders are the forgotten weapon. So why not use them? So
okay, well,
because their accuracy level is great. Just the problem is that they're one-handed. I wanted something that was dual-wieldable or able to use a shield. So
Okay. Well, it's a salamander. You can chop his, pluck his tail off and throw it at the thing that is a distraction. It'll grow back.
Okay.
Okay. So, Shane, what has RS taught you?
You know, aside from the obvious that there are people in this world who are morally bankrupt, which I think we already know, it's taught me that about... in general, the way the British perceive the world around them. For example, their first floor is the first floor above ground. So the ground floor is the floor that you walk into. Then the first floor is the what we would call the second floor here. So just lots of little things like that. I think one could say it's also taught patience, of course, having 99 agility. You definitely do need to be patient to train that skill.
Very patient.
And if you expand things out, not only from RS, but to this, it's taught me a great deal in terms of development and, of course, audio production as well.
As for me, I found that when playing RS, having two screens is very, very good.
Oh, yeah, that too.
I have a hard time going back to one screen now. And the other thing is I found out that long, long time ago that the proper way to pronounce RuneScape was not RunEscape.
You used to think it was RunEscape?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't know how to pronounce it. I just saw R-U-N, escape. Okay, RunEscape.
But they capitalized the S.
I'm American. We don't see that stuff.
Okay.
America.
I think. What else? I don't know. It taught me about interesting puzzles I've never encountered before. before RuneScape. My only real experience with Sudoku was in terms of the algorithm behind solving it, but with RuneScape, I've actually played it in-game a few times. Same things with the Celtic Knots. I've never heard of one of those. So those kind of things are also nice to see. And just all the puzzles in-game. Because, you know, normally I'm the type of person who just doesn't go out of the way to find a puzzle like that. So them being presented to me in RuneScape was interesting as well.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. And... oh yeah, RS taught me back then. Remember when if you kept typing, your letters would not go under. It basically just stopped. RS taught me how to speak in slang. So I put like you and I and all those little things to, you know, save that one extra character so they can fit it all in.
You could also use Twitter to do that.
This was a long time ago. Twitter wasn't even invented yet. Heck, DSL wasn't invented yet. I was still using dial-up. And I always knew when I was going to get a bad connection because it took the beeping always took forever. Then I canceled it and started up again.
And you know what was an interesting thing about that? You could play RuneScape on dial-up with no issues once you had already loaded everything up. All right. Thank you, Maramska. All right, this next one is from 99 Ages. Sup, host? What technological advances would you like to see in the next 10 years? I want to see a printer that actually works. Is that too much to ask? If you say phasers or something, I'm leaving.
When I'm a printer, go buy a Brother brand. They actually last quite a bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We've always had good luck here with Canon or HP.
I've had bad experience with HP. One of my old dorm mates, he had an old Brother and it was still working. Like, I swear it was almost as old as him.
Wow.
And let's see.
Was it a dot matrix?
Nah. It was just more of an office type printer. Small office type printer. Let's see.
Okay.
What would I like to see in the next 10 years? What would I like to see in the next 10 years? I don't know. You go first, man. I'm trying to think.
Okay. The disappearance of the keyboard and the mouse. The keyboard and the mouse have been around since the 1960s. They're the first input device we ever used. So it'd be nice to see something different. For desktop computers, we're there already for mobile and whatnot. So it's just a matter of finding the right thing for desktop computers and having everybody adapt accordingly. And regardless, if we come up with something new, it will be better than this thing. Because, how many years can we keep using a mouse and keyboard for? Ask yourself that. The first mouse was a wooden block with a few little wheels in it. So surely we got something better than an extension on that by now. So that's what I'd like to see.
I'll keep it short. In the next 5 years, I would like to see good shows on TV.
Technological advances.
It's a technological advance.
That's not a technological advance.
Sure it is. They finally figured out that. They finally figured out that American Idol isn't going to work anymore. So they need to put new technology into making TV shows to make it more entertaining. Let's see. I knew you would. Technological advances. I would really like to see automated driving. They're already experimenting it with Google and all that kind of stuff. But taking it a step further, in theory, we're supposed to have the high-speed rail here done by 2020, but that sure as hell is going to happen, and they're already thinking about 2030, and by the time they finally get the high-speed rail thing done in California, we're either going to be completely bankrupt under the water, or I'm already dead.
You don't need high-speed rail. Just build more highways.
No, the point of the high-speed rail is basically get from... basically traveling the entire California and like half the time and no traffic.
Build an Autobahn. 300 kilometers an hour.
Yeah, Shane, we can, well, the, it's not gonna, that's not gonna happen in California. You get too many idiots on the road and they'll start drinking. And with, and then pretty soon people from Oregon and Washington is going to trickle down here, and suddenly we're going to be wondering why all these potheads are driving down California going 300 miles an hour.
Okay. Another thing I'd like to see is improvement in battery tech, and maybe with that, ultra capacitors, basically so you could plug a device in for 5 minutes or so, and you'd be able to take it with you and it'd run for an entire day.
That would be nice, but they haven't done that well with cell phone batteries yet, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's why the technology has to improve, and it'd be something to see. Because when you think about it, having a mobile device is good, but if you can't power it up quickly, what's the point?
One other thing I'm looking forward to, is just to make things more green. I told myself this, that if I ever had enough money to build my own house, I'm making sure it's as green as it can be. Full solar, if I can't have the ability, full solar power, completely solar power heater, and solar water heater, maybe a wind turbine. I would make the thing as green as I could be.
Okay, but why would you do that? What benefit do you get from that aside from wasting money?
Actually, you would get more money back, because if you're smart, you would stay on the grid. If you use less energy than you're actually producing, it goes back into the grid, and they'll actually give you a check. PG&E, which is the electrical company here in California, they would actually give you money for putting energy back into the grid.
Just as long as you're not doing it just to be green, because I know people like to do that.
No, I'm doing it because one, is economical, and two, it's good for the environment, and three, I actually make some money. Shane, if you want to dump gasoline into your lake, that's your business.
I'm not saying to do that. I'm just saying to be a realist. That's all.
I am realist.
Anyway, no, it's not.
I live in a place that's super hot. Why wouldn't you?
One thing else I'd like to see is the amount of power it takes to do processing to go down. Like, for example, right now, look at the iPad or something, and you got a pretty good processor in there for a small amount of power. I'd like to see that kind of same power shrinkage continue on as time goes on for laptop and desktop computers as well, because that means if you can do that, you can achieve the same performance by using the same power we're using now. So the same power we're using now would be the top end of the spectrum. And then by getting that down, you just do more with the power you have. So that's kind of what Intel's already doing with their CPU die shrinking. But within the next 10 years, they're going to need to continue to come up with technology to prevent the bleed through from the quantum issues, because they're working at such a small scale. So, I think I'm good with that question, if you are.
Yeah, I'm good. I think we kind of beat this one already.
Yes, we did. Read the next one.
Oh, you gave me the essay, didn't you? Okay. All right, this one is from Poison Nova, Dear Shane and Master Trekkie. Yay, I'm a master. With more group-based bossing content promised by Jagex, do you think a healing mechanism, basically the option to play as a medic-type character, would be better... play as a medic type character with some better healing magic would benefit the game of RuneScape. And yes, I'm aware that Shane, let me finish, alright? Stop butting in. And yes, I am aware that there's already a healing spell in the Lunar Spellbook, Heal Other, but it's terrible. The game needs some good single targets or AoE group heals, at least this is my opinion. Don't worry about the mouths of people who will stalk you with pitchforks while chanting down with Wildscape. Should you share in my opinion? Anyway, what are your thoughts? Thanks for taking my rant escape question, Poison Nova.
First of all, that wasn't a rant. If anything, that was a very good proposal for some new abilities that we could see in game. So that was not a rant at all. I quite enjoy this question, and I am 100% behind it, especially with the new Evolution of Combat action bar and the whole need with the Kalphite Queen to have an actual tank. So, actually, yes, I agree.
Actually, my clanmate actually made a really good tank. It's really he really does it very well when we're fighting Corporeal Beast. He really tanks it very well. But he you basically need to, like, it's the multi-million dollar gear. I was like, I can't afford that. Not until I get
you know
a
what
drop.
You should get him to do? You should get him to fill out the action bar on our action bar thing and the equipment as well. And then if need be for the equipment, because it hasn't been updated yet, I will gladly update all the equipment, target bonuses and whatnot for his build
if you want to do that. Actually, I asked him about it too. He said he'll talk to me soon after I've been busy, and when I'm on, he's not on. When he's on, I'm not on. So usually we have a hard time meeting up. But
good.
Yeah. He tanks it very well.
Yeah, and this is a good point, because in RuneScape you basically have food, which you can't share with people, and Evolution Combat has the defensive abilities, which is good for being a tank, but the heal other spells and whatnot really aren't that great, and there's only, I think you said, 3 of them. So, yeah, definitely it'd be nice to see something like this.
The one thing is that, you know, just me, is that if you have someone who's a dedicated healer, they may do very well. But then again, you also will hurt the fish market, the food market. Sharks and rocktails are already going down as it is. And you're,
well, no.
No,
not really.
Wait, why do you say that?
Because if you think about it, a tank typically does not deal damage. So,
no, but I'm not talking about a tank. I'm talking about someone who's going to be the healer, the medic.
Yes,
if you're
going to
be
yes.
the medic who's going to be healing other people, like look, take a look at the Kalphite King. I don't know how well you can tank that, because he does a lot of AoE damage. You can have someone who basically who's a medic in the back healing you up to a certain point. You may not use as much food as you normally would. And so that, and you know, the fish market is already kind of bad, but
that's not really going to affect the fish market, because there's still lots of people who are going to need fish when they're on their own.
But in terms of a healer, yeah, I'm down for it. I like to try it. I like to try it out, and Lunar has always been about helping other people or making things more convenient.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't mind taking a crack at it, but maybe just open a whole new spellbook with the elves. Elves are supposed to be known for their great healing abilities and whatnot. So if we ever get through the biohazard quest line, maybe we'll get new spellbooks that we can heal each other. I don't know. It would be nice.
Yeah, it would.
I still want my book.
Good idea. And definitely not a rant.
But what I wish they would finally give us is more action bars. 5 is not enough. I need at least 6.
Yes.
I need at least six. Maybe 7.
Or at least to have multiple up at a time. That would be good.
Or that should... That should be a Solomon prize. You don't need it, but if you got
one,
that would be very good. And I have 1,000 plus rune coins saved up.
All right. Thank you, Poison Nova. All right, this next question is from St. Adair's. Shane and Jay. With some hints thrown down from time to time, where and when do you think Jagex will host RuneFest? I've heard rumors of possibly New York. Let me know your insights. Ooh, and Jay is a noob for touching my gun. LOL.
That's not a gun, it's a pea shooter.
What is this about?
Oh, Full Metal Jacket.
I see.
It's an old movie. Anyway, so, Shane, where do you think RuneFest is going to be? They made it pretty clear they want to have try it in the US.
Yeah, and you know, going back to the first episode of 2012, I still think London is the best place to have it for two reasons. One is that Jagex is a UK-based company, so I think they should just focus on that market entirely. And secondly, it's a lot easier to get all the JMods they need to London than it is to anywhere else across an ocean or two. So that's the main reasoning there. And also, really, do we want to have a RuneFest in somewhere else that is kind of not, doesn't have the full effort put behind it because they can't get all the JMods there or whatever? So,
oops.
I mean, they could do it somewhere else, but it would be super expensive if they were to do that, which I just don't think is a good thing to do. They're a UK-based company, and I think they should stay there since that's what they do best.
I don't know. It wouldn't be nice for them to come on over, maybe try and, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Advertise a little bit more here. Can I get the ball rolling again? But if you were to say in the U.S., if they were to do it in the U.S., where would you have them do it?
I'd go to one of the convention cities. I would have them do it in Chicago, either Miami or Orlando, or San Francisco, or Seattle.
Yes, come to SF. I get front row tickets. I want to play to
because
that
if you think about it, the cities I mentioned are convention cities. You don't, you know, New York is good at everything, but people don't want to go to New York. It's too big. It's too expensive. So that's why I think they need to go somewhere that's a little less off the map.
I would vote for Chicago because I think they should do it. Get into it.
Wow. Okay.
Did a burger fly out?
No.
I was going to, well, if I were to say, I would like them to do it in Chicago because if you usually Chicago is kind of big with all the comic book stuff, especially Comic-Con. So I think if they do it in Chicago, it's, you know, really decent. Pick a nice time of the year and all the conventions are rolling on at once and just go take a look.
Another thing is that Chicago is a hub airport, so it's easy for anyone to get to.
Mm-hmm. If they did it in SF, that would be nice too because then I don't have to fly.
Yes, that would be good.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, I think that covers it. But as I said, I'd prefer them to keep it in the UK.
Okay. So we move on to the next section of our list, which is the tech news.
Right. So this week, Google launched a redesign for their images search. It's probably not live yet for everyone, but it'll be rolling out in the coming days for them. So the whole point of this is that if you click on an image, it will show you more data about the image. So you remember back in the olden day, image search, you just click it and it would take you to that image and then let you view the website of it. Now it's actually showing some data behind the images, which makes sense because when you think about it and you're searching for an image, you're searching for an image. That's your medium. You're not searching for websites that are hosting this image necessarily. So I think it's a good logical step. And
oh, shit.
I can't wait to play with it. What?
I just went into my Google Chrome to go into Google Image, and then like I see all the pictures of my mom and Andy. I didn't put anything into the search bar at all. I see all of some pictures of my friends and all my Andy's old cartoon projects that he did.
What?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're not searching on Google Plus?
Oh, that's what I'm thinking too. It's probably because they added me on Google Plus, but I don't use it.
Yeah, that's probably why, but...
Huh.
I don't have the new UI yet, but it'll be interesting to see, like, the data behind this and everything.
What's this one? High personal results. Okay. There we go. Huh. You know, if you just do a default thing, it's quite interesting.
What do you mean?
I just clicked on Google Images and I see planets, I see just random features everywhere, but all quite nice.
Yep. All right. So now, this is more of just a interesting piece, if anything. It's not really news, but what if there was a social network where everyone was just a number? You didn't have to reveal your true identity. You were just known by your number.
Well, I don't really never care for social networking. And
I know,
do something
but just
like this.
Assume.
Okay, would I like to be a number? No.
So you'd rather have your full identity out there then?
Well, I'll say this. If I were to do that, I would put the identity that we want to be associated with on that social media. We have, it's not the first time people have put stupid things on Facebook and whatnot, and it has cost people their jobs and lives and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it's a very good point that if you wanted to set up a fake identity, you could just do that. You don't need a number or anything. But regardless, I think this might be bordering close to what 4chan does.
Uh-huh.
What do you think? If you had a network where you're just a number, would that be like 4chan or too much like it?
Well, hopefully it wouldn't be as bad as that website. But that's just me.
Yeah, and that's the thing. How do you prevent something like that from spiraling out of control?
You'd nuke them.
I don't know. So. I mean, the idea has merit and everything, but I just don't see this, like, this kind of thing maybe would have been popular back in 2006 or something when all these social networks were coming on online. But I think at this point, everything is in place as to what network does what, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, it's a good read, and it makes you think for a while of what could you do if you really had a fake identity that you were using or just a imaginary identity as a number. So, but I don't know. I personally think that if you're using a social network for a certain thing, I think saying who you are is definitely a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't do this, but.
Well, I never
just
care.
One thing before we move on, though.
Yeah.
In contrast to 4chan or sites like Reddit, which seem like wild west of the internet built through message board, social number focuses more on questions and answers like Quora and individual identities like Facebook and others. So they definitely thought of this and wanted to keep this in mind.
What's with your hate with Reddit?
I don't hate it.
It sounds like every time we talk about it, you end up hating Reddit for some reason.
Hate is a very strong word.
You are a very strong type.
No, but it's not the thing that I'd use there. But but anyways, if you want to see this before we move on, just head on to socialnumber.com and have a look, and maybe you might find something interesting there. Who knows?
Okie dokie.
All right, give us the brief for the last question while I insert the link to social number in the notes.
So it seems that Apple falls behind ExxonMobil as the most valuable company. So let's take a look at the market watch really quick. And basically Apple and Exxon have, you know, they're both big companies. Apple has been ahead of them for most of 2012, but it seems just in the beginning of 2013, they have been falling downhill in terms of their stock. Their stocks, and ExxonMobil is now just slightly more valuable than Apple.
Yeah, and you know, this is evident by a 12% share price, I think, over the past week that Apple's fallen down. And, you know, I think this was bound to happen because Apple is a company that does what they want to do. They're not truly governed by share prices and what other people are doing. Like there was some initial speculation going on that they might be trying to make a cheaper iPhone or something like that just to get more market share or something. And the CEO came out and said, no, we're not going to be doing that because that's not in line with what we do here. So Apple is definitely going to keep producing the products they want to produce. They're not going to do what it takes to stay up in the top as the most valuable company. But I think it just goes to show the attitude and whatnot of other tech companies around who essentially are copycats trying to catch up with everyone else. Whereas Apple doesn't care about that, as evident by what we saw with the iPhone 5 last year.
We should have bought stocks back in 2010. And we could have made a lot of money by selling it around fall of 2012.
Yeah, it was when they were almost $700 a share. That would have been great.
Actually, for me, though, I would have loved to have bought Google when it first went public, but I was a poor little high school student.
Yeah, that was one of the best ones to buy, unlike Facebook. So, I mean, people are going to go out there and say that this is a problem for Apple and they need to address this, but in reality they don't, because people are still happy with Apple products, I think.
Okay.
I mean, have you ever known a Mac person who has decided that they don't like Apple in the long run, really? They're very few and far between.
Okay.
All right, moving on. Moving on to other things then. Specifically the Skill of the Month update. It is still the woodcutting Skill of the Month. It looks, in fact, like Muramska has a bit of a solid lead here. He's currently leading with 5.3 million XP. Second place is Jason B with 4.2 million. And third place is Jason with 4 million XP. And rounding out the top five, we got Parnassius at 3.1 and JM Andy 52 at 1.5. So it looks like maybe things have settled off in the last week here. If Muramska completely stops like he stopped now, there might be potential for the second or third person to catch him. But nonetheless, been a very interesting race.
Okay, dokie.
And also, the Skill of the Month for February 2013 is open to sign up, and that Skill of the Month is Strength. So we got a Combat Skill of the Month. So everybody will be gathering together and playing with the evolution of combat and having some fun. The last Skill of the Month for Strength was August 2009. So should be a very interesting one, given the fact you can get the combat XP so quickly.
Okay. Strength. It's going to be a lot of people doing Slayer.
Yep, that's the best way to train it. You know, we should look at pest control again post-evolution of combat. I never really thought of that. What do you think? You think people still do pest control?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, achievements of the week. We got three of them this week. The first one being Parnassius, 99 woodcutting on the 21st.
Mm-hmm. We got Scream Truth, who got 99 attack on January 21st on 2013.
Of course, J1, J2, J3 with 99 Dungeoneering on the 20th. And I typed it right as I was entering it.
For once.
Yes, so congratulations to you all, and what are you going to do with 99 Dungeoneering?
I'm taking a break. I'm going to Disney World.
What about Disney World?
I'm going to Disney World.
I see. I see. Why? You know,
why not?
I don't see why one would do such a thing.
Because you have, like, just because you have no child in your heart anymore. You killed it with Star Trek.
No, I think that helped it, if anything. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so congratulations to everyone. Good 99s this week. We look forward to seeing more next week.
Okay, so... All right.
I believe you have a pick for us.
Yes. So there is a website I was going through, and I found this, and it's called Documentary Heaven, Food for Your Brain. So the whole thing behind this is that this site basically gets a whole bunch of documentaries almost everywhere, most from National Geography and a couple other BBC and whatnot. And what they've done is they basically put all those videos onto their website and made it more user-friendly. And so basically the whole thing is that you can actually go around and browse your documentaries or see what interests you. They have a really large selection. There's a good... What?
Continue.
What? I was going to say... Continue. They have a large selection, and they have a lot of documentaries on 9/11, from conspiracy theory buffs all the way to Zygus, the movie, Final Edition. And yeah, so you can take a look and see what interests you and take a look.
Help continue quality PBS programs like Frontline. Support PBS and local...
I'll watch that later.
What? Is that an Obama thing?
Continue. No, that one's removed.
I'll probably put it back up later.
Yeah, I hope so. There's a good one on there that everyone should watch. It's called 2016 Obama's America.
Yeah, America!
So, but I found one here, America's Second Revolutionary War, about the Tea Party. Mm. But it looks like it's a YouTube production, so I don't know how thorough and fact-checking it's going to be. I found another interesting one here, U-Boats in the Gulf, from History Channel, so that one should be interesting to watch.
Yeah, so there's a lot of...
the PBS one, The Choice 2012. Which is a little bit late, but nonetheless.
They have Super Size Me here. They should have a Super Size. Yeah, they do have Super Size Me. Yay.
Oh, there's one called The Obama Deception as well.
Yes, they just throw everything in there. I'm sure you're going to have a lot of fun, Shane. Oh, yeah. And they also have World War II in HD for all 10 episodes, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that was a good series. I watched that one.
Oh, it's actually... yeah, so take a look.
Good. Oh, Tank Man, one about Tiananmen Square. Nice.
Yes, don't know what happened to him. There's still a lot of speculations if he's dead or alive.
That's what this documentary is supposedly about. So... Anyway,
yeah.
Anyways, lots of good ones on here, regardless of what you want to watch. There's one about Fluoride Gate. What do you think of fluoride?
Depends how much you put in your water.
Okay, so you agree with putting it in the water then?
Hmm?
You agree with putting it in the water then?
Eh. Some people say yes, some people say no, some people say it causes fluoride decay, but gotta do the whole, does the good justify the bad and all that stuff.
Yeah. Personally, I'd prefer they didn't put it in the water, because I just want pure water coming out of the tap. You know, I want as close to pure as we can get.
Mm-hmm.
So... I mean, I don't think fluoride's a bad thing. I just think you should put it in your mouth on your own terms through your toothpaste and your dentist.
Yeah.
Because I think toothpaste has a bit of fluoride, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. All toothpaste have fluoride. Unless you buy the one that says no fluoride in this one. But usually that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Let's see. U-boats in the Gulf. In 1942, with the U.S. military still gearing for battle, Hitler brought war to America. In a little known mission, dozens of Nazi U-boats penetrated the Gulf of Mexico, attacking and sinking numerous merchant freighters and oil tankers. While experts thought they knew most of what went on there, their theories were challenged in 2001 when an underwater survey team discovered the wreck of U-166 on the Gulf seafloor, over 140 miles distant from where records recorded she sank. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's also one here, which I know Shane, you won't like, but it's called Star Wars in Iraq. It's just a documentary of all the technologically we've evolved over the past five six years with, you know, using robots and everything else to all the dangerous missions, and you know soundproof lasers.
Yeah, like I have no problem, like you said, watching something like that. It's just a little bit annoying, but it's nice seeing the alternating points of view, you know. So, good sight. Who knows? This could end up being my pick of the year for 2013.
Anything from nothing for Star Trek.
That's unfortunate. Anyways. Let us move on.
Okay, go.
What have we been doing? You first.
I've not been doing much on RS. School is back in full swing, so that's what I've been doing.
And okay.
I'm about to go to Macworld next week. Yay, Macworld.
Oh, yay. So you essentially got 99 Dungeoneering, and then you're pretty much just taking a RuneScape break then.
Yeah, I went on hiatus.
How are your ports?
Taking me back to port. So far it's good. I am waiting for better crew members so I can fire the stupid ones. There's no union ports. I'm good.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Anything else?
Now is a good time to buy Apple stocks.
Okay.
It can't go any lower.
As for me this week on RuneScape, I've been, you know, for some reason I've been collecting items for skilling. Currently I have level 90 smithing banked, I have level 90 crafting banked, I need to get 91 thieving for the task set, I need to work on the Dominion Tower stuff. So there is lots of stuff for me to do now in game, which is good. So I'm definitely going to be having lots of stuff to do when I get back. But this week, I've just been continuing on my Barrows runs. My quest has been changed. I'm just searching for an arms wand right now. Because I want a one-handed level 70 thing I can use when I fight my metal dragons. So that's what I'm looking for right now in Barrows. And hopefully, I can raise enough money to buy an Armadale crossbow for my range tasks. And I'm still unsure what I'm going to use in my offhand for that now, since there's no level 70 thing, and I want to use Diamond Bolt E. So, it seems like the Chaotic Crossbow is calling, but I don't want to do that much Dungeoneering to get 300,000 points for the main hand and the offhand bows. So, that's 3 million XP, which is a little bit too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, just been doing the daily challenges and Barrows primarily. So that's it for me. And like I said last week, I'm disappearing now for 3 weeks. So we will have competent people on the show. I can guarantee that. So no need to worry. Everything will go on as it has been going on. And I'll be back sometime around the middle of February. That being said, take care, everyone.
All right, take care. Bye, y'all.